Did you know how important the planet Mercury is in your astrological life? Mercury retrograde is a concept that has exploded over the past few years. Not a lot of people understand what it means. In a moment, the astrologer joins us, Leslie McGuirk, as we'll talk about her work, The Power of Mercury, next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, a student of astrology for more than 30 years, Leslie McGuirk. Teaches regularly at the Rancho La Puerta Spa in Mexico, as well as other high-end spas and resorts. Now, in the corporate world, she's been a popular keynote speaker on the topic of creative inspiration. Her book, The Power of Mercury, Understanding Mercury Retrograde and Unlocking the Secrets of Astrological Communication. Leslie, welcome to the show. This is going to be intriguing and fun.
Yes, of course. I'm happy to be here.
The planets. My gosh, how do they affect us? Why?
Why? Well, what's amazing is how few people really understand the whole system of the universe above our head. It is completely and utterly having effect on all of us down here on Earth. And I always tell people that if you think about just the moon, how that regulates every body of water on planet Earth, and our bodies are like 90% water, there is a correlation. You can talk to anybody who works in a hospital or in a school. They will tell you during a full moon, things are more heightened. So if just that one rock in space is, the moon is doing that to us, imagine taking that out to all the other planets, and there is an influence that they have on us down here on this planet Earth.
Let's talk about Mercury retrograde for just a second. Can you explain what it means in non-astrological terms for us?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so when we're looking up at the sky, every once in a while, it happens about three times a year, the planet Mercury appears to be moving backwards. It really is not. It's an optical illusion. It just appears to be going backwards. So how this all started was that probably early people who were looking at the sky thought, oh my gosh, this is a bad omen. That's kind of strange the way that planet is doing that movement. And so it became known as something that was kind of wonky and scary. And so now everyone has this incredible fear about not signing contracts during Mercury retrograde or anything having to do with communication or travel. They won't get married. They won't go on a trip. But what's really crazy about it is that if you were actually born during a Mercury retrograde period, like myself, and it's about 20% of the population, this is actually your best time. This is when you should be making hay while the sun shines, because that's when we're in our element. So when it goes direct, it's actually the opposite for us. It feels more, you know, funky for us during those times. So it's really important to understand that it doesn't have to be a negative thing. First of all, you've got to know whether or not you were born during a Mercury retrograde time. But if you were not, it is true that things can be kind of a little more difficult in the communication areas, and also with like machinery breaking down, things like that are more common during Mercury retrograde. But it doesn't mean you can't continue to live your life. It just means you're supposed to slow down and move a little bit more carefully. And to me, I equate it to being like putting your car into reverse. Someone could say, well, that's a bad thing. And well, it isn't a bad thing if you have your car in the garage. You'll never be able to get out.
That's right. If you need to back up, it's not bad at all, right?
It's not bad at all. So what I'm really passionate about telling people is that it's not bad at all. Thank God for Mercury retrograde. It gets us to reflect, slow down, you know, reevaluate things. And without it, I think we would all be crazy. So I think that it should never be looked at as a negative thing. And you can continue to live your life, just be a little bit more careful during that time. And also have compassion for those of us who were born during Mercury retrograde, because it means for us that for most of the year, we feel the way you do when it's direct. We actually feel the way you do when it's retrograde.
Let's talk about astrology for a moment. How old is it, and how did it come about?
It is thousands and thousands of years old. They originally found even some astrological symbols written on ancient bones, but every culture around the planet Earth has had early indications of people studying the stars, because back then, think about it, we didn't have, you know, television and devices that we're corded up to now. People looked at the stars and what was going on in the heavens as probably their form of entertainment. And it became something that they noticed was a constantly changing pattern. And they started to take note of certain things happening during certain cycles. And we are so much affected by these cycles. We're part of this giant kind of sacred geometry of the way the universe is organized. So think about the early seagoers. They used the stars to help them navigate. And even think about the Star of David that the three wise men saw to find baby Jesus. People don't realize that those magi, those three magi, those were actually astrologers. They've been around for thousands of years, and they were considered the wise men. And unfortunately, what's happened is that astrology has become more put into the realm of fortune telling, when in fact, I look at it as an incredibly scientific tool. It's an extremely accurate imprinting system. So when you were born, whatever was directly above your head when you were born was a map of the stars. Yeah. And what gets imprinted inside of us is this extremely exquisite pattern. We're like part of human design. And when an astrologer is looking at your chart, they're basically seeing where the flow is. Where is this person having a challenge, a lesson to learn? Where is it that they have gifts? And what we're supposed to do is actually learn whatever we're supposed to learn while we're here and outgrow the chart. And you can, believe it or not, get to the place where the chart has absolutely no influence on you at all because you've been doing what you're supposed to be doing in this lifetime.
You know, I'm a Gemini. I'll get into that with you, Leslie, in a second. I think next hour when we take calls, let's do something a little differently rather than people just call and get readings, which will go on forever. Let's let them give you their astrological sign and one quick question. Will that work next hour?
Yeah, that's perfect. That's great.
All right, super. Now, a lot of ancient great thinkers, Hippocrates, Leonardo da Vinci, Isaac Newton, they tapped into astrology, didn't they?
Yes, many did, including Einstein and Carl Jung. And what they realized is that it's a system that if people understand how to use it, it's invaluable for finding a level of inner peace. And I look at it also as if, think about the fact that every seed, when you look at a seed, it's hard to believe what could be inside that seed. It could be an oak tree. It could be a tomato plant. It has an imprinting within that seed. And when you look at a seed, it comes with instructions, like you need to plant this tomato plant in a certain place for it to thrive. Well, we are no different than any seed. We are from a seed as well. So what happens is that with an astrologer looking at your chart, they can tell you where's the best place for you to be planted, where can you thrive. But we all have free will. We can do whatever we want with our lives. It's just, I believe, the best thing we can possibly do is try to figure out a way to make life easier. Because all of us have challenges, every single one of us. There's some reason why we're here, and we're supposed to learn lessons and grow.
Okay, if Mercury is related to communication,
yes,
and I'm a Gemini, and I went into communications, how did Mercury affect me? Was it around when I was born?
Well, Mercury is always, as a planet, very close to the sun. So when we look at our Mercury sign, it's going to inform how you process thoughts and how you use words. So because you are a Gemini, which is actually the place where Mercury most loves to live, it is a natural thing for you to have this ability to use communication really skillfully. So it's a really nice thing. It's called an exalted position. But everybody has different pluses and minuses for any of these Mercury signs. So the negative of a Mercury Gemini would be that they sometimes can talk too much. So it doesn't mean that you're one of those people, but that could be one of the negatives of Mercury in Gemini.
I'm not talking for the rest of the night.
Now, no, you're supposed to talk a lot. That's your gift.
How did you key in on Mercury instead of some of the other planets?
Well, probably because I've been single for most of my adult life, and I feel that as someone who's dated a lot and has been in relationships, I've noticed that one of the key things as an astrologer that I found looking at the charts of different guys that I've been in relationships with, that if they had a Mercury placement that was very compatible with mine, it made life a lot easier. Because think about this, if you're in a partnership with somebody, if you can't communicate with them, it's not going to be easy. And so I determined that there's never been a astrology book written about this particular planet with the kind of depth that I'm writing about it in the book, The Power of Mercury, but also where you can really easily, without knowing anything about astrology, go to the back of the book, look up your year, find out where Mercury was where you were born, and it's going to be in one of the zodiac signs, and it's going to be in a zodiac sign that's somewhere near wherever your sun was at the moment of birth. And you can read about how you use words, how you communicate, and then you can compare it with the person in your life. And so whether you're dating or if you're in a relationship with somebody at work who's driving you crazy, or if you have a child that just you just can't communicate with them, what's really beautiful about astrology is that it's the language of compassion, because when you understand the way people are wired and how they think and how they process words, you stop taking it personally when they don't do it exactly the way that you do.
Well, and I've got to tell you, by the different signs that are out there, that affects people in different ways. So let's go through them. There are 12 different signs, and they're broken down into four types, right?
Yes.
Fire, air, earth, and water. Let's go through the signs and what they are. Air signs include Geminis, Libras, and Aquarius.
Exactly.
Who?
And you're in that air group.
I'm in that air group. And what does that mean?
Okay. Air rules the intellect. It is about the mind. So those three signs, more than any other, they very much process everything first through the intellect. And they are the people who are most visionary. They're the ones who can have the bird's eye view. They are the ones who usually love words. All three of them are about harmony and balance, especially Libra. Think of them as the scales. They want everything to be fair. And Gemini is very involved with wanting things to be about communication and about, they're like the social butterflies. They're very good at any kind of situation, talking with lots of different people. And Aquarius people are the biggest humanitarians. They always have some far-reaching vision of something they want to accomplish in a big way. The negative of an air sign, because there's always a positive and a negative, and what we want to do is always try to go towards the positive, all the things I just said about those signs. The negative of air signs is that they can be detached because they're so intellectual. Think of like a bird. They're up in a tree and they're sort of observing, but they're not like right there, you know, as touchy-feely as some other signs. But this is, we're just talking about sun signs right now. In astrology, in order to understand what a person is really like, I think it's far more important to know where their Mercury sign is, because then that's going to tell me, how does that person, how are they going to deal with me if they're angry? Are they going to be intellectual, or are they going to be feisty and fiery like a, you know, fire sign? Or are they going to be super mushy soft like most water signs are? So astrology is a very complicated system, and it's sort of does the science of astrology a disservice to just focus on sun signs. So we have a complicated sort of recipe for every human being when we look at the entire chart. So does that make sense, what
yeah.
I'm trying to say?
Okay, in the next group, earth signs.
Okay, earth signs.
Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorns.
Yes, yeah, so think about earth as being people who are extremely grounded. They are practical. They're steadfast. They like to know that if they go from A, B, they're going to get to C and then D. And each of them has a very lovely energy to them because there's sort of a safety you feel with Earth, because Earth can sort of hold space for people and for things. So of those three, Taurus is probably the most sensual because they're very much about food and touch and usually very creative people. And then we've got Virgo. Those people are very much known as being the organizers. They like everything to be in their place. Everything needs to be solid and practical. And that's the sign of the female virgin. So it's a very feminine, soft energy to have. And then the last one is Capricorn, which is the goat, and that is known as being the most hardworking sign of the zodiac. They're like a mountain goat that's climbing up to the top of the mountain. And if you want to hire someone who's going to work hard, you want to hire a Capricorn, because that's what they do. They just love to accomplish their goals, and they keep their head down, and they keep focusing. So the negative of an earth sign is that sometimes they can get too stodgy. They can sort of get stuck and stubborn, and they don't flow that easily, because they're like a tree. They get really rooted, and they're hard to sort of shift to another place.
Next up, water. Cancer, Scorpios, and Pisces.
Right. So I'm a Cancer. I can easily talk about them. All the water signs are extremely emotional. So think about tears. They come out of, we make water out of our eyes. That's where emotions come from. And Cancers are one of the most emotional signs in the zodiac. They're all about home. Think about what the symbol is. It's a crab, and it has the shell on its back. That's like their home. So everything with Cancers is about home and feeling safe and being protected. They're very nurturing. They're the kinds of people who, if you're sick, they'll bring you milk and cookies and try to cheer you up.
They're emotional people.
Very emotional people, yeah. So there's both a good and a bad to having emotions. Sometimes it can be like a flood, though. You know, Cancers, if they get upset, they're, you know, the biggest mush balls in the zodiac. Then we've got Scorpio. They've been given kind of a bad rap because people think that they're so intense, but they're beautiful people because they're extremely loyal. They want to go deep. They're like incapable of doing anything at a surface level. They're like the scuba divers. They're not snorkelers. They want to keep probing, and they want deep connections, and everything has to be felt with a great amount of intensity. And then Pisces, the fish, that's a dual sign. There are two fish going, one's going left, one's going right. These are the very imaginative people. They're dreamers. They're all about fantasy and music and dance and anything having to do with soft things in life. And the negative for them is that sometimes they can be wishy-washy. You can't quite figure out where they're going. And they're like a fish. You try to pick them up, and they sort of slip away from you. So they have to guard against being a little elusive and mysterious.
All right, and then let's get to the last grouping, fire. Aries, Leos, and Sagittarius.
Okay, these three are the feisty ones of the zodiac. And Aries is a very masculine sign. It's the ram, and it's all about me, 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 me. We're going to plow ahead and go first. They've got strong wills. They're very determined, and they will fight. When they care about something, they're going to be right there trying to fix things, trying to make everything better. The next one is Leo, and that's the lion, and that's all about let me entertain you. This is where you sort of shine your light, and Leos need to be noticed. They need to be adored. They like to feel as if they're, you know, shining their light in some big way, and wherever they are, they like to make this regal appearance. And then the last one, Sagittarius, that symbol is half man, half horse. They are the great philosophers of the zodiac. They love to travel. They're always on a mission to get to the next thing, the next exciting thing of the mind, or having to do with just expanding horizons all the time. Now, the negative for the fire signs is that they can be very quick. So think about what fire does in nature. You know, it sparks.
That's right.
It can heat up every tree in the forest. So sometimes with fire, they have to be contained. Like, fire is great as long as it's in a fireplace. But when it gets wild or out of control, and it's like a forest fire, and it just burns everything up everywhere. So fire signs always need to remember, you got to contain your energy, because otherwise the other signs in the zodiac, especially the earth and water signs, can feel very fragile around them.
All right, Leslie, we're going to come back in a moment and talk more about the power of Mercury. And in the last hour of the show tonight, we're going to take your calls. Welcome back. Leslie McGuirk with us, and we're talking about the power of Mercury. So let's get into some of the specifics here. If you were born during this Mercury retrograde period, which you say is what, 20% of the population, Leslie?
Yes, that's correct.
What does that mean to somebody?
It means that you are different in terms of how you think. You are going to be having you're going to be zigging when someone else is zagging in terms of mental abilities. You're going to see things in the world a little bit more off the beaten path. And that's not a negative thing. A lot of very original thinkers are born with Mercury retrograde. Robert Downey Jr. has it, Angelina Jolie. These are people who are, there's just something a little bit off about them. And it can indicate quite a lot of talent too, because the world needs people who are original thinkers. So it's not a negative thing at all.
No, but can something go awry?
Absolutely. During Mercury retrograde?
Yeah.
Yeah, things do. But again, if you were born during Mercury retrograde, this is your good time. So like for me right now, I had my book come out and was published on purpose during Mercury retrograde. Because
good timing.
You know what, George? It's fantastic for me. And I also did a TEDx talk today here in Hollywood, and it went extremely well. And it's all because for me, this is my best time. So that's what makes me so upset about people talking about Mercury retrograde without really understanding what it is. And most people have no idea if this is their good time or if this is a time for them to remember, okay, this is when I need to put my car in reverse. And it's not a negative thing, because when it's in reverse, I can parallel park, and sometimes you just need to do that. So for any of us to look at anything with astrology as being good or bad or negative or positive, it all depends on how you look at it in the bigger picture. And to me, that's a much healthier way to live your life. I don't think it's smart to think that during Mercury retrograde, you can't live your life and you have to live in this negative headspace where everything's going to go wrong. I just don't think that's a healthy way to go, because again, for me, being born during Mercury retrograde, once it goes direct, then it's the way you guys feel when it's retrograde. It's
sure.
It doesn't make sense for me to live my life with all that negativity. I just don't think that's a healthy thing to do. And I always believe that we as human beings are far more powerful in terms of what happens in our lives than just what a planet is doing. It's like, everyone knows about the moon, and when it's full, things are a little more crazy because the moon is pulling on all that water inside of our own bodies, but it doesn't mean that it's a bad time and that you're going to have more emotions. You might, but you also might not. It's just, it's like looking at the weather. When it rains, is that necessarily a bad thing? Sometimes it's great. Sometimes we need it. And that's how I think people should look at Mercury retrograde. It's just an energy field, so you become aware of it and you work with it. And you still live your life, but you do everything in life with intention. And your brain and your ability to manifest with your thoughts is far more power than more powerful to you than whatever any planet is doing up there.
Well, sometimes when it rains, it pours.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes that's a good thing, you know?
How does this work? Scientifically, how does astrology work?
That's a great question. And what recently happened with scientists who have been studying the planets, there was an article in The Economist magazine last November that for the very first time, George, actually had scientific proof that the planets actually have an effect on what's going on here on Earth. Now, this article had nothing to do with astrology, but I was so happy when I read it because it was proving something that we haven't been able to prove scientifically, how astrology, why it is so accurate. But it's really only accurate if you've got a good astrologer looking at your chart. So how I think it works is that when you were born, wherever anybody was born, astrology is an imprinting system of the map of what was directly above your head at the moment of birth. So it's a map of these angles of planets in relationship to other planets. So it's like sacred geometry. And it's like music. There's like an imprinting, a vibrational chord that happens. And by the way, this article was talking about how these planets give off energy. They give off vibrations. And anything that moves in space has, like if you drop a pebble in the water, there's like these waves that come off it. Well, these planets are constantly moving, and they're giving off these waves. And I think that there is, I mean, I definitely equate astrology with music, that there are these musical waves that are imprinted into our being at the moment of birth. So what a good astrologer is doing is looking at your chart as if it's your song to sing, your music to play in this lifetime. And we all were given the same number of planets, which are like musical instruments. So we all have a tuba, we all have drums, we all have a piano. And sometimes these planets can be a little bit out of sync, and an astrologer can sort of tone the drums down. Maybe they're a little bit too loud. We have free will in terms of how we're going to work with this song, this music that we're given. And some people are born with songs that are really harsh and difficult, but because there's a lot of, you know, heaviness to their chart. It's not their fault, but there's always a way out. There's the chart is so beautiful in that it gives the human being the way to make everything flow better. So an astrologer is a lot like an orchestra conductor. We can't touch or influence anything that's going on out in the orchestra pit. All we can do is try to find some kind of harmonic resonance with what the person is dealing with. And so for me, I look at astrology as this beautiful language of compassion, because we all have something wonderful inside of us that's meant to blossom and to grow. We just sometimes need direction. And I mean, astrology absolutely saved my life, George, because I was 19 years old when my mother sent me to an astrologer, and she just looked at my chart and she said, "What the heck are you doing? You are so creative, and you're telling me you don't do anything having to do with art or creativity." And I said, I said nothing, because I had been totally
And that
flat.
Changed after that, I bet, right?
She totally changed my life, because she said to me, she said, "My God, Leslie, your brain is so intense that if you don't find a way to channel this incredible energy that you've got," she said that most people are born with a wristwatch on their arm. She said, "You're carrying around Big Ben on your arm." She said, "You've got to figure out a way to use this energy." She said, "You need to study astrology, because you will never, ever in this lifetime ever completely learn everything about it. It's like going down into a rabbit hole. And just when you think you know something about astrology, there's more and more and more to learn. It's probably one of the most fascinating things on earth to study. And what's so upsetting is that so few people are understanding what astrology is. So I'm very passionate about trying to teach people how to read charts. When I do charts for people, I actually have them look at the chart with me, and I explain to them so that they're looking at their piece of music with me. And it is like reading music. And I'm just going to tell them the best way to play their song.
When I was a kid, I'd look in the Detroit News all the time, and I'd look for the horoscopes, and got a kick every time they had something about, you know, a Gemini June 4, which happens to be my birthday, because I'd always read it. I might have been 11 or 12 years old, Leslie, but I'd look at it and I'd be just wowed. I'd say, "Oh my gosh, that's going to happen to me," or whatever. It was really cool.
So did you find that it was accurate what they said, or was it more just like,
yeah,
so you were special, and that this message was for you, like a message from the universe for you?
For a kid who was 11 or 12, I found it to be pretty uncanny, pretty accurate. I could never understand at that age why, or how, you know, how the star clusters and planets and everything else in the zodiac could affect me. But it was pretty accurate.
Well, I believe astrology, if done correctly, is 95% accurate. And I've been trying to find scientists to study what I do, because there's no way I could do what I'm doing as an astrologer if it wasn't scientific. And I just hope in my lifetime that somehow or other there is a way for people to understand what an incredibly useful tool this is for humanity, and how wonderful it is to know that there is human design, that there is a path for all of us, and that there's a reason that we were born. And most people are desperate to know, you know, why am I here? What am I meant to be doing? And in my particular case, for me, I know it's the planet Pluto, wherever that falls in your chart. To me, that tells you the evolutionary lesson for this lifetime, why you were born. This is more advanced astrology, but it's an incredibly fascinating thing to realize that we were designed for a particular thing, and that we have a gift. We all have a gift.
You're getting some Hollywood folks, too, and some pretty prominent people dabbling with this when they deal with Mercury retrograde, aren't you?
Yes, and again, I think a lot of people don't really know what it is, and it's become incredibly popular. But you know what's fascinating, George, is that Mercury goes retrograde, but so does Venus, and so does Mars, and yet no one talks about that.
No, they don't.
That's crazy.
Why?
Because I don't. For some reason, Mercury has just become this sort of dumping ground for people to blame everything on Mercury for, you know, several times a year when they can say, "Oh, it's not my fault. It's because of this planet."
Now, when we look at events that are happening worldwide, lots of tension, chaos, all kinds of things. Would the signs show that?
Not really. I think that there are certain like transits that are going on right now in the universe. A couple years ago was much more intense than it is right now. So I think that we're in a better phase. And actually, this November and December looks, once we get through this election, everything seems a lot calmer.
I want to bring that up in a second, too. But is astrology more for the individual as opposed to a date for an event?
I believe so. But there are, you know, certain, again, an astrologer is like a meteorologist. We can see that there are certain events coming up that are can be stressful. But those stressful events, if they happen to fall in your chart and make it a blessing, then it's, you know, who's to say again that that's a negative thing? And we still have free will. If, you know, the weather is what it is, and we're still in charge of how we go through our life with intention.
How do people study up on this?
It's difficult to learn astrology. I don't know that many great teachers out there who can explain it in a simple way. I think because of being an author of children's picture books, I have been trained to make things fun and easy. So when I teach astrology, I actually use costumes and props and music, and I bring the charts to life because the planets are all swirling around out there. And when we look at a chart, again, it's like the imprinting on that particular moment of birth. So we all have the same planets in our chart. So we all have a sun sign. We all have a moon sign. We all have a Mercury sign. And it's this dance of how they're communicating and interacting with other planets. And so the planets are like people. They're like actors. And I often equate astrology to being like the board game Clue. Did you play that when you were
I loved the board game Clue.
Okay, so the board game Clue is a lot like astrology. So there's that
board
where
Colonel Mustard, right?
Rooms of the house, remember?
Yeah, the rooms with the weapon and the person.
Right.
Colonel Mustard.
Exactly,
remember
Professor
him?
Plum and Miss Scarlet. So imagine that when you're born, this is like the game of life. You are given a board, and that's the astrological wheel, and it has 12 sections to it, and those are like rooms of a house. So we all have the same board. We're all given the same, you know, astrological wheel. And then when we're born, we're all given the same number of game pieces. So we all have Professor Plum, Colonel Mustard, and Miss Scarlet, whatever. We have all the
and the rope.
So what we do is we shake them up and we put them up in the sky and we say, okay, Professor Plum is close to Miss Scarlet or whatever. And then those people, those planets get mapped into that house, into that structure. And an astrologer is reading the relationship between these different archetypes. So Mercury, the planet of communication, that's like an actor who, wherever that little game piece, that person falls in your chart, he will tell you how he likes to think, how he likes to talk, and wherever he lands. So, for example, in my case, my Mercury is in the sign of in Cancer, and it's in the part of the astrological wheel having to do with large groups of people. So I have a natural gift for being able to communicate with large groups. So I don't have a problem getting on a stage and talking. Somebody else could have their Mercury, like Hillary Clinton actually has this. Hers is locked up in the House of Secrets. So it makes it so that no matter what she does, she's going to feel secretive to people, because in her natal chart, that's where that particular game piece ended up landing.
Huh.
Does that make sense?
You really have to study this, though.
It's extremely complicated. It's like playing tic-tac-toe on five different levels.
Do you when you when you're do you are you exclusive with retrograde Mercury?
I don't know of many astrologers who think of it the way that I do, but isn't that perfect, George? Because I was born with it retrograde, so I'm going against the grain, aren't I?
So it's affected you a lot.
Well, I think it has. I think that I've always felt as if I'm thinking in a way that other people are not. And it's also part of why I've been successful.
Now, when Mercury is not retrograde,
yes,
what does that mean to people?
Well, for the average person who's not born during a Mercury retrograde, everything feels like a giant sigh of relief. You've put your car back into first gear, and that feels far more comfortable for people, because when your car is going in reverse, you have to look in your rearview mirror. You don't have as much control, so it doesn't feel as comfortable. But again, have compassion for those of us who were born during Mercury retrograde. We feel like we're in reverse when you guys are all going forward.
What creates the illusion that it's going backwards?
It has to do with the placement of the sun compared to Earth, compared to Mercury. It's just when it's in its orbit, it just looks like it's somehow or other is visually going in reverse, but it really isn't at all. It has to do with where we are on planet Earth in relationship to the planets.
Have you ever looked at a spinning wheel of a car and it's going backwards? It looks like it's going backwards?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like with the planets, yes.
It's just weird.
An illusion.
I mean, you look at it and you swear it's going backwards.
Right, yeah. You can feel that like if you're on a train, too, and you see another train. Yeah, it's exactly like that. So you can see why it got popular to think, oh, my gosh, this must be a bad thing. That's really, things going in reverse couldn't possibly be good.
Does it last for a day or weeks? How long?
No, Mercury retrograde lasts for a couple of weeks, and it happens three times a year.
Three times. Is it predictable?
Yeah, it's easy to find out when it is. And it's a good thing to put in your calendar, because that way you just kind of know when to prepare for it. But again, the most important thing is to find out whether or not you were born during Mercury retrograde. And, knowing your Mercury sign is just a super useful thing, again, especially in relationship to everybody in your life. Imagine if you were a mother and your Mercury is in Cancer. So remember I said Mercury in Cancer is very soft, soft and gentle.
Emotional.
Yeah, these are people who really don't like to fight. And if somebody is fighting, they will get physically upset. It's just not their style. So imagine that you're a mother with that placement and you give birth to a daughter who has their Mercury in Sagittarius. So remember, Sagittarius is fire.
Hold on, Leslie. We'll come back.